I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you on a Thursday. Payne and Pendergast with you. 713-572-4610. Michael Brantley was back in the building yesterday. Good to see Uncle Mike. He will not be participating in the postseason, but he's around the team. Dusty liked having him back, and that's good. Get to provide some leadership. Here's Michael Brantley on 2023. Does he want to come back to the Astros?
How hopeful are you that you can be back here next year?
Yeah, very. From Jim Crane into all the way down. So from day one when I walked in this door, I was welcomed with open arms. I'm very appreciative of everything that this organization and my teammates have given me and my family, and it means a lot to me.
He's no doubt been one of the, maybe not one of the prime faces, like Mount Rushmore faces of this period of Astros baseball, but he's no doubt, Michael Brantley, been a really crucial part since he got here in 2019. I thought, boy, when we were talking about this earlier, Seth, I was thinking about it afterwards. I think you laid out the perfect scenario for Michael Brantley if he's trying to maximize earnings. It won't be here. I don't think the Astros are going to give him 2 years, $32 million again like they have twice now. And he's earned it. He's earned every penny. He's been great. I think the scenario you laid out, the comp being like a Carlos Beltran in 2017, or Brian McCann was even more than that because he was your regular catcher. Like Beltran was a guy who you just wanted him in the clubhouse, and if you got production out of him, great.
I mean, they paid him $17 million. It was and he'd had a good year the year before, but yeah, it was he was still they expected more of him offensively than he ended up giving. They retired his glove midway through the season
because yeah, he was. That's right.
So I think they thought he was going to be a good DH, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
I think Brantley is a guy that's still probably he's more fit and he's a little bit younger than Beltran was at the time. Is going to be signed for a nice 1 year deal by a team that wants to bring in a guy like Brantley that can, just like Brantley was a great mentor to a still relatively young George Springer and some of those other guys in the clubhouse. There's kind of a progression with the Astros where in 2015 and 2016, there was a feeling by management that the Astros just didn't quite know how to really win. They just needed some more veteran leadership. So they brought in McCann. They brought in Carlos Beltran are the two big names. And
Reddick,
and other guys.
Reddick was part of that group also, Josh Reddick.
But those two guys, McCann and Beltran, yeah. I think, actual starting type guys that have that kind of bona fide guys.
Yeah.
So I think now the Astros are at a point where all of that tutelage has led to a spot where, now you have an Altuve, now you have a Bregman, now you have various veteran players on the team already that provide that role. And Verlander, certainly, if Verlander is still around next year, that it's not worth the extra money you might pay for Brantley.
Yeah.
Now it might feel different. We'll see how the offense looks during the playoffs and revisit with it. If the offense goes completely dry during the playoffs, I might sing a different tune. But I'm still a little bit nervous about the fact that he's 35 years old. And just as we've seen with Yuli, at some point you start to age. And it's usually right around 35 or so that it can get really steep really fast.
It might be 2 years after the fact because we all thought he was going to Toronto 2 years ago. But maybe it's Toronto Michael Brantley ends up at. Like when I look at the market for Michael Brantley this offseason and what are the teams that could potentially drive the price up, not through the roof or anything, but higher than maybe the Astros want to pay him. I look at the young teams that are on the fringe or in the postseason right now. Like just in the American League. And I was about to say, it needs to be in the American League because of the DH. But now, a guy like Michael Brantley, his market is all of baseball because of the DH in the National League. That rule change is really, really good for a guy like Brantley hitting the market who can now potentially offer DH services to 30 teams out there, not just 15 teams out there. So I think that's really good for him. But I look at, like, Toronto. Look at the teams that are in the playoffs outside of the Astros and the Yankees in the American League. Seattle is a young team that's ascending. Probably use a guy like Brantley. You know, Minnesota, they're not in the playoff picture right now, but that's a team that's young and has done some things. You know, maybe he goes back to Cleveland. Who knows?
I like him going to Toronto just because then you've got an Uncle Mike with all those guys who are the sons of other Major League
Baseball
players.
MLB offspring, yeah. Yes.
He'd actually be closer to, like, the MLB. Like, he actually probably – did Brantley play with any of those guys at any point? He's just young enough to have played with a couple of them.
He's only played in Cleveland and Houston. I mean, he was in he got into the big leagues in he had a stint in 2009. He played 72 games in 2010. He didn't become a regular till 2011, but he's been around a while. How much money do you think Michael Brantley's made in his career?
$173 million.
I love guessing this. $100.4 million.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's gotten screwed.
The biggest contract he's ever gotten.
Poor as hell. He's got to work till he's 50.
He's a pauper. I know. God, he's probably going to be asking for second jobs around the building and things like that.
It does. You know what? There's a part of me that feels like, obviously it's all great money. I'm joking on that. But there is a part where some of these backup NFL quarterbacks or bust NFL quarterbacks that have made $200 million in their career. Who are the guys that are the most notorious?
I'll give you a number. Yeah. Ryan Fitzpatrick. How much do you think Ryan Fitzpatrick made in his career?
Okay, so he played 20 years, right?
17 years.
Yeah. And he was a starter for a lot of those years. So I don't put him in that category.
Okay.
But I bet he's made $170 million.
$82 million. Ryan
That's
Fitzpatrick.
It?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah. See?
Justice.
Yeah. So you're standing on the table for Michael Brantley and only making $100 million and Ryan Fitzpatrick only making $82 million.
Yeah.
These are the bougiest causes of all time.
What's his face? The quarterback that got drafted by the Rams and traded to the Eagles and then everywhere else.
Sam Bradford
has made more money per game, I believe, than anybody in NFL history, because he got drafted high back under the old CBA.
Yeah.
And then that was the last
draft under the old CBA.
He made $130 million
in
his
career.
That's
so ridiculous. He sucked. God.
He made $1.25 million per touchdown in his career.
That's incredible. Dude, hey, God bless him. Good work if you can get it.
He played 8 seasons for 4 teams.
My God.
He had how many starts did he? Well, Sam Bradford early on, he showed promise. He just got injured all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess he had shown enough promise that it just wasn't that people kept thinking, like, hey, maybe we'll be the team that he doesn't get injured for.
Yeah.
And it wasn't meant to be.
Brantley doesn't fall, like, when the story of this Astros run of greatness or reign of terror, depending on what side of the argument you're on. When it is written, Seth, one of the chapters will be about one prominent free agent, one prominent face leaving the team each year since 2018. You know, it was Morton, then it was Cole, then it was Springer, then it was Correa. Does Brantley fit into the same category as those guys as far as a guy leaving this, or is he kind of at the back end and he's not, you know, the impact matters?
No, he doesn't fall into that category.
If Verlander left, that would be that category.
Yeah, that no, and even then, I guess, because those other guys are homegrown guys that on most teams that didn't have this damn issue of too many good baseball players, on most teams they would get re-signed early. And it would be, you know, Springer, Correa, all those guys. If they were on teams that were just mediocre or subpar, then they likely would have gotten contracts. Although I do think also with the luxury tax and with things the way they are now with the CBA, I think there will be more and more teams like the Astros that really don't want to dole out the long-term contracts.
Yeah.
But you know what? Correa, I don't know, too. Without all the hype and everything, Correa might have had a better, more realistic opinion of his worth and ended up taking the Astros deal in a different situation.
Well, I mean, he helped his situation by having the season that he did in his contract year. You know, by far his best season in the major leagues.
Well, yeah, but he didn't get the contract he wanted. My point is that he might have actually accepted Like that scenario wasn't exactly what Correa thought it was.
Yeah. Do you think he regrets not taking the Astros offer? 5 years, $160 million. Like, I don't think he's going to opt out of his deal in Minnesota probably and dip into free agency again. And I don't know what he's done this year that would make Major League Baseball ready to give him a 10-year contract this year.
That's why I was upset yesterday. Honestly, I was disappointed with a few of our listeners who got upset with what I felt like was just a statistically based assessment of Jeremy Peña and how he's been this year. And people acted like I had called Jeremy Peña the devil or something.
Yeah.
I was the guy. Do I have to remind everybody that I was the guy that said everybody's freaking out for no good reason? We're going to be fine without Carlos Correa. I was the first of many to say that Carlos Correa is dead to me and that Jeremy Peña is the truth in the future. And now all of a sudden I'm getting nailed to a post because I'm not kneeling at the feet of Jeremy Peña. What the hell is this all about, everybody?
This is where I need to apologize to you, Seth. This is as your co-host and friend, I need to apologize to you because in that segment, we were doing the comparison of Jeremy Peña this season because he had hit his 20th home run. That's what made me think of it. And I said, well, let's go do a little comparison. And you know, the two, Peña and Correa, statistically are kind of similar this year. Correa's the better player. He's a better hitter. He's a better defensive player. But Peña's pretty good in both of those places. But given the low salary for Peña, I phrased it as a massive success, the conversion from Correa to Peña. And I think what you were counterpointing to was my categorization of it as a massive success.
Well, and I said that he'd been average at the plate, and a lot of people were upset because he had 20 home runs. I'm like, all right, that's fine. That's great that he had 20 home runs, but you got to get on base more, too.
Yeah, his OPS is 700.
I'm not trying to be like a drunken Babe Ruth here and lead the league. So he was average OPS-wise. He was below average on base percentage-wise.
Yep.
Defensively, he's awesome except for all the errors, but that's just a rookie thing. Like Carlos Correa was not a finished product in the field either, but you could see where he was going.
Yep.
So I think what happened, Sean, is that I have higher standards for Jeremy Peña than a lot of other people did, because I was basically saying he was going to be rookie of the year.
You were the leader of Peña Mania, yes.
Yeah, so I'm sorry that I actually respect Jeremy Peña, that I don't just treat him like some cheap little hussy the way you all have.
Yep.
But I have high standards for Jeremy Peña, and it won't be a massive success until I see him reach his ultimate potential.
We might need to repurpose the audio of Seth.
We can do that, too.
Going after, we'll resurface things in here and then repurpose the audio of Seth taking a run at Correa just to prove that this is true. Because there were a lot of people coming after you. I felt bad for you because I feel like I put you in harm's way by categorizing it as a massive success. So
since in the months of July, August, and September, his OPS was .634. His batting average was .231.
Peña?
That was Jeremy Peña for the last 3 months. Yeah.
Okay.
So you guys can, like, maybe I've watched too much baseball, I suppose. I got to watch home run highlights and then just say, oh, yeah, he had an awesome year. He was just, from start to finish, it was nothing but glory.
That's what I do. Yes.
I care about Jeremy Peña.
Yep.
Damn it.
Lovie Smith. We care about Lovie Smith as well. Lovie Smith digs into the Chargers offense, defense. We get the beginning of the glimpse into the Texans opponent on Sunday from the Texans head coach. We'll hear what he has to say. The scouting report next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.